It is Commissioner Brad Holton. I'll call the meeting back to order. Still present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 10 o'clock agenda item, and it's for fiscal year 2025 budget workshop for the West Valley Humane Society.
Yeah, and I have some materials that I don't take.
Great, thank you.
Yes.
A lot of land use here, so we'll take them.
Thank you for that important note, Commissioner Brooks.
I know you said that for the benefit of our DSD director back there.
I was here to listen.
Do you have a electronic copy of this for our staff?
I do. I can send it over.
Okay. If you would make note to do that, please.
Yes, yep, absolutely.
All right. Go, take it away.
All right. Well, thank you so much for meeting with us. It's been a while since we've had a chat, so it's good to be back. As you probably remember, I took the position in early 2023. So I've been with the organization for a little bit over 18 months at this point. And we've seen a lot of change. We've seen a lot of mess, for lack of a better word, and a need for change. So I just wanted to kind of go over what we're seeing on an organizational level. I brought Shane McMichael with me. He is our new treasurer of the board for the West Valley Humane Society. And we're really excited to have him on because, frankly, this organization has been lacking that kind of financial oversight for a long period of time, which is probably evidenced in the materials that I've already presented to you and what we'll kind of talk about today. So, you know, West Valley Humane Society is really no stranger to the increase in intake that we're seeing with animals in the county as well as from other municipalities. This is a national trend. It's not going away. It got really good during COVID because everybody was home adopting pets and fostering pets. So the pandemic was actually really helpful for animal shelters, but now we are kind of in the fallout of that with people returning to work, people moving to the area, all of those things. So when the shelter privatized in 2011, the organization took 414 animals from the county. By last year, that number rose to 1,288. So that's an increase of 211%. So we're seeing a huge increase in animal population from the county alone, but also across all jurisdictions, for an increase of 71% across all of our jurisdictions, as you can see from the two charts that we brought here. We have years that it goes, you know, roller coasters up and down, and there's lots of different variables that play into why intake increases or decreases year over year, but the national trend as well as our local trend has been trending up for intake of animals. Housing insecurity is a big issue for a lot of folks, and taking in animals that they don't have the means to care for is a huge problem. For instance, we are dealing right now with a cat boarding situation out of Nampa City. So we're no stranger to, you know, tragic situations that residents find themselves in, and we have to kind of jump in and assist with housing those animals, finding those animals good homes, and then, of course, trying to save as many as we can. Which brings us to that third page about save rate. You know, our organization really prides itself in being a no-kill facility. That doesn't mean that we never euthanize. It just means that we meet a national benchmark of 90% save rate, meaning that 90% or more of the animals that enter our shelter leave alive and happy. The shelter achieved no-kill status in 2021 after years of hovering around the mid-70s and 80s. So while it wasn't terrible, because I've, you know, traveled the country and seen animal shelters that have abysmal save rates, so it's nothing to not, you know, not be proud of, but we're extremely proud that we're able to meet that national benchmark. And it does open us up for more granting opportunities and more support from national organizations such as Best Friends Animal Society, the ASPCA, and the Humane Society of the United States. Community members really want to see no-kill practices in their communities, so Canyon County is really no different. You know, that's one of the first things that callers will ask us is, are you a no-kill facility? And of course, again, with that comes the confusion of, you know, never euthanizing. And so there's like, no-kill is such a misnomer for some people, but people do want to see us trying to save as many animals as we can that are coming into the facility. But, you know, our ability to maintain that no-kill status relies directly on our programming, and our programming, directly relies on the financial support that we have, not only from municipalities, but also from private donors. And to just kind of go into some of the programming that our shelter offers, it's more than just, you know, adoption services, lost and found services for folks, and stray animal services. We really want to offer a variety of community-focused, life-saving programming that all Canyon County residents can take part in and appreciate and benefit from. So some of those programs include foster care, low-cost spay and neuter options, which lots of people take advantage of, because if you guys have pets, you probably know the cost of veterinary care is rising significantly. I hear it all the time from people that have gone to their private vet, and they're like, I went to get my puppy spayed, and it was like $600, and I remember back in the day, it used to be $100, you know, so we try to provide, you know, low-cost spay and neuter options. That not only helps kind of alleviate some of that financial burden on residents, but also prevents overpopulation and unintended litters in our community. We also offer low-cost vaccines for the same reason, and low-cost microchip services by providing lower-cost vet services. We're increasing that accessibility to Canyon County residents. We also have a Spay the Mama program in which we offer free spay and neuter services to folks that have had unintended or unplanned litters, and they surrender the puppies or kittens to us. We put them up for adoption, and we spay their parent dogs for free so that they're not continuing to reproduce. We also have a pet food pantry that lots of community members take advantage of because just like human families or human members of the family, lots of families are experiencing food insecurity, and that goes to their pets. Sometimes that can mean the difference of somebody being able to keep their pet in their home while they're going through a rough time versus having to surrender it to the shelter. And we also provide community cat programming, which is trap, neuter, and return services for free roaming or feral cats in Canyon County. To decrease the overall population of free-roaming cats, and to, you know, decrease the spread of communicable disease in those populations. And we don't usually get a whole ton of additional funding for cats. That's usually all private grants and private donations that funds that. So at this point, I think I will turn it, unless there are questions that you wanted to ask me, I'll turn it over to Shane to talk about our financials a little bit more.
Mr. Chairman, I got a question.
Yes.
On all this low-cost stuff that you've mentioned,
yes.
Would you elaborate, is that like you're doing it, taking it a loss, or is it at cost, or is it cost plus a certain percentage?
It's cost plus a certain percentage. I don't know that percentage off the top of my head, but we do, it's not at cost. We do make a little bit of revenue on that, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Hi, as Jen said, I am the newly elected treasurer. I was elected in February. I joined the board in January before. Brief background on me, I come from about 11 years of nonprofit accounting consulting work. That's what I do. When I had the opportunity to join the West Valley Board, I jumped at it. Animals are my passion. I love my dogs. It was exactly but almost a dream to be able to sit on the board of a local animal shelter. So with that, when I came in, first thing I wanted to do was, you know, ask, hey, is there any help that's needed in the financial part? And Jen said, absolutely. So to continue on with the presentation, as we all know, and I won't go over the numbers too much, the population in Cannon County has increased dramatically. Everyone knows, everyone sees, we feel the pain in all facets of our life. With that comes an increase in the amount of people and the amount of pets that we have to serve in our community. As we see from the previous numbers, those numbers have increased. COVID gave a slight bump, but if COVID wasn't there from that perspective, then I think it would be possibly even worse given the certain circumstances that we face. Problem with that though is that COVID, as we all again know, has impacted the costs and expenses of businesses, not just nonprofits, but all and individuals. For specifics from 2022 to 2023, as we've seen inflation and cost increases continue on, the costs for West Valley Humane Society skyrocketed $250,000 about from 22 to 23. So with that, the other thing that I wanted to point out was the county's costs as well has increased from the time that we've taken over operations from the county animal shelter. It went up about $100 million from the county budget and from actuals to budgeted for 2024. With that, we're no different. If you look at the next graph as well, you see our cost is going up as well. Two graphs. So our costs have jumped up as well. And as we continue on, it's not gonna change anything. The more animals that we have to seek and take care of, more people coming in, it's all gonna go. And especially, I know for sure the economic situation of the United States and the state of Idaho is a lot. And I can't tell you how it's going to get better or when it's going to get better, but as we see wars continue to pop up overseas, as you know, we continue to deal with struggles of everyday life, it's going to continue on. The one point I did want to mention was that and my kind of discovery as I have been going through learning the financials was that the county hasn't had an increase to the West Valley Humane Society since basically inception. To my understanding, the current contract is $200,000 a year with $100,000 allocated for maintenance costs in the facility. If you go Bureau of Labor Statistics, as I've shown in this screenshot here, that same buying power is $278,000 back in 2011. So that's, I just wanted to point out the actual for $200,000 and some additional $78,000 that we need to try and come up with. And you can see the costs for the county for the shelter here in this final graph, where it was a little over $1 million back in 2010 and of course dipped down to the $300,000 to roughly $200,000 arena. Cannon County annual financial report back in 2011 stated that it was a roughly $700,000 saving for the county at the time for the county to not have to work on those operations. When you look at those savings, and again, so we're talking about increases for everything, increase in employee costs and increases in just everything. That number saved can continuously increase. So as we look at it all, and I will be the first to say that the financial situation of West Valley Humane Society is not phenomenal. When I jumped in and started looking, Jen again said the first thing to me was, we need help in this arena. This is something that we don't have anyone truly looking over it. It was my shock and surprise that after again a few board meetings and more questions that I asked, that the first time in as far as anyone can tell that the board had even seen financial statements was December of 2023, and I was appalled by that information. It, in my mind, just showed that there was no oversight there and that there needed to be change. When I went in and started looking, I could see very basic things that weren't completed for 2023. Things like making prepaid expense entries, recording depreciation. In my line of work, where I have nonprofits come to whatever accounting firm I've worked for at the time, and it's one of the few indicators that I go and I look at these basic, easy areas, prepaid expenses and depreciation. It's stuff we get first years. You know, it's things that help them learn, get the flow of how we do our job. If you look there, it's typically a very good indicator that if those basic, easy areas are wrong, then the hard stuff, everything else, it typically is not done as well or done correctly. So we've needed a complete overhaul in our financial situation. That's currently what we're working on right now. We're working on getting our financials cleaned up, both for 2023, where we can then hopefully have an audit take place. That's our current goal. As far as I'm aware, and I've asked many different people, there's never been an audit conducted on the organization. And then we're going to get 2024 caught up as well and better moving forward, so that A, we have the numbers that we can say are accurate, we can get them timely, but we can also drill down to a better level and say, okay, where's our money going? How are we bettering the community? How are we helping these animals? And we're able to look at those financial numbers and get some of those answers. It also goes back to the basic bare roots of it, the accounting and policies and procedures. Again, that was a question I asked time and time again. Do we have these? I asked our treasurer, I asked our president. No one was able to provide me with anything, to the point where I can confidently say I don't believe that the organization has any set accounting policies and procedures that have ever been approved by the board of directors. That's something that by the end of July, my hoping, working around my own full time and family, that I can have that done by June, and we can have that approved by the board of directors as well, so that we have in place internal controls, that we have in place sound financial decision making that the board and our employees must follow, so that we don't run into this situation again. I would love to say this is a unique case. Unfortunately, it's not. I see it all the time with nonprofit organizations, and sometimes there does just need to be a reset button, and that's where we're at. We submitted our work paper to you all that was required. We're asking for $300,000. So we're asking for a $100,000 increase into the annual allocation. As we said, you know, since inception, there's not been a single increase. That's, I think, a lot on the organization as well. Is that something that these trends have been going on for a while? It's, even though the past 5 years after COVID have been really difficult, I don't think that anybody can say that there weren't increases across the board even before that as well. So I think that's something that the organization has also failed at, is in getting additional funding from the county too. But to continue on with the last point I really do want to make is, as my work goes, again, I work with a lot of different nonprofits in a lot of different areas. You know, sometimes I work with schools, religious organizations, service industry, all of it. I see everything, and fundraising is down across the board. And it's been something that has been said for a while. COVID was great because it gave a lot of people a lot of extra money, and some chose to give those to nonprofit organizations. So we saw a massive uptick. The annual report on philanthropy by Giving USA was put out for 2022, and it showed a decrease in giving year over year, which the only times that's happened in the past 40 years are 1987, 2008, and 2009, which I'm pretty sure everyone here can say that those years probably don't surprise anybody, but that just shows us also where 2022 is and where 2023 and as we're going into 2024 and 2025, it's not looking any better. Ultimately, you know, like I said, the organization's not in a great spot. We're identifying it, and it's not just the financial arena that we're identifying it. The reputation of West Valley Youth Society has not been great. I was here, especially since I joined on I always hear comparisons to Idaho Humane Society over in Indian County. I think it's a very easy comparison to make. I try to distance myself from it as much as I can. There's some instances where it is a good comparison, but we're not that organization, and frankly, I do want to be as much like them as I can, but we also need to be ourselves. So we have to make the changes. We have to be better. We have to have, you know, community engagement. We have to have community support. We need people to be able to come to our organization if they're looking to surrender an animal rather than tie it to a fence post off of the highway. Same thing with cats. You know, it's better to do that than if someone has a cat and has a bunch of kittens that they go and they dump it in a field. That can lead to two areas, one of which, you know, there that becomes a rampant population increase of wild animals, which not Jen can probably speak way better than me, but I've heard the horror stories of increase in cat feral cat populations. Feral cats are nasty to eat. It's kind of like, you know, wild boar as well. You don't want them in your community. And then same thing with dogs. If you get anything like that going on, it's just, it's not great. But also, we want people to come in and know that they can get a happy, safe, healthy dog or a cat or any other animal that we can provide them. But right now we have to make the changes. That's our primary focus. And truthfully, we need a little help right now.
Questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to review the budget actuals for the last couple of years, and the budgeted amounts are not included. Is there a reason for that?
Which specific years?
I'm looking at budget to actuals for 2023 and 2022. The budget amount is not there to see.
Chairman, I do think part of that there was included on the calendar.
I'm looking at all the documents that were on there.
I'm not sure why that's not in there. I thought it was when I sent it.
Well, it has all the actual amounts, but
the budget
part is show whether you're over or under budget percentage-wise. It's not there.
Does it show a budget column or just and not
yeah.
just the change? Oh, so it just doesn't show any change or anything?
Show like everything in the budget
blank.
Is blank for both documents.
I'm not 100% sure on that, and I apologize for that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know people listen. Is it
nope.
No, that's the
P&L.
I'm looking at this one.
Oh, gotcha. You look at this one, Commissioner.
We can have that updated by today.
No, I mean, for 2024, you have it in there, but I mean, we're only.
So I do know
only 5 months into
right.
the calendar year, so obviously you're significantly under budget.
Yeah. So for 2022 and 2023, again, as I said, there were issues within the financial system, one of which was that budgets weren't input. I thought I had gotten 2023 in, so that's probably why, because Jen probably pulled the financials and provided them. So it looks like for some reason 2023 didn't stick. As for 22, I had been trying to locate one, and I could not find a 22 budget anywhere. I know one exists. I had been told that it did. I really hope that it did. But for 2023, I do apologize because I thought that had been handled. Again, I can provide you an updated 2023 one by the end of day to day to facilitate that. This is a very good example of what I have found and been dealing with. And
yeah, this is a mess.
It's worse than you can imagine, truthfully. Like, it's a piece where we have had to make serious cut costs. We had to lay off about 10 employees because we wouldn't have been able to continue operations if we didn't make that call. We have found through just going through expenses at a time, basically as they pop up, we found out a found another, what, 5,000 a month, roughly, 6,000, something around that realm, and just redundant costs or unnecessary costs to the organization that were just going on for months and probably years that we've been, that they've just been paying. And we continue to find more and more as we continue on. And as you can see here with the detail that we're seeing, that the financial situation, just from a financial statement perspective, is so poor that it's near unusable.
Do you have finance staff under you, director?
No.
There was an outsourced accountant.
There, yeah.
That we have since terminated, because of what we're seeing here. That was one that is, they had been hired, I think, also at the beginning of 2023. And before that, I know that there was through an outsourced accounting firm that also we had issues with.
So who does the day-to-day tracking of transactions?
I have been managing that for the time being, since the end of April. So it's a very recent change.
Do you account for the facilities in any means within the bookkeeping that you're involved with now?
From what I've seen, only the $12 annually dollar a month. Outside of that, I don't think that it's ever been recorded.
Okay.
In any capacity from the sense of an in-kind, showing full value of what a lease would actually look like, and then as well an in-kind revenue. To my knowledge, it hasn't been completed. Most in-kind, from what I've seen, has not been recorded within the financial statements. It's
right.
Also a change, in which case, as I said, we're going to adopt new accounting policies and procedures. That's one of the big target areas that I have that we need to be able and make sure that we're tracking those things for both for donors and for our financial reporting, because those are things that are required by GAAP to be in the financial statements.
Right.
So, believe me, I would rather have this meeting in about 3 months, but unfortunately the world doesn't always work that way, and how, you know, perfect timing of everything. So these are all areas, and I don't want to bore you all with the accounting of everything that I have identified and that I'm planning to change. But believe me, there's a lot.
Mr. Chairman, I'm really concerned about this because we are sending tax dollars to this entity. We're putting a lot on the record of I think we are entering into an area of liability that I am uncomfortable with. So I think this discussion is going to have to go much deeper into what you consider the boring accounting stuff, but
well, I'm happy to. I just
let me we've been allocating $300,000 and you're asking for an extra $100,000. I'm not really in the business of lighting my wallet on fire per se from the county standpoint, so I think we're gonna have to probably schedule, at least in my opinion, an extra meeting, probably to just evaluate the entire structure of the organization and basically the entire operation, like as if you were a part of the county, before I'm comfortable sending another dollar.
Okay. And I do appreciate Commissioner Brooks' comments. I want to compliment, though, I appreciate you coming in and what you've put out here and the attempt to help this organization. Last year there was identified that there was a gap, and I hear you trying to manage some of those. It's like a remodel, you got surprises happening everywhere.
Right.
So I want to say first, thank you. And then second, the county is mandated, if I understand it correctly, by state statute to provide animal services for the community. And so in the absence of that, at the higher level with the previous board, what they identified is what you've also identified in here, that the county assuming that cost would be significantly greater than the county assisting with someone that has a heart to do that kind of work. So I understand that there is a real dichotomy here in maybe the level of diligence by a previous board's plural in evaluating what needs to be done, and your willingness to jump into the middle of that, given your involvement in other nonprofit organizations and your entrepreneurial experience before coming to Canyon County. So I think there's a way to have your questions and the information. That's the right thing. That's why we do this. And I think that will benefit everyone in the community and the taxpayer.
I think we're at the level where we need to have a joint meeting with the entire board of the Humane Society so we can kind of start from ground zero, go from there.
Yeah. And truthfully, we're happy to do any of that. I'm happy to have a deeper level on the accounting conversation. Again, it's cleanup right now. I just need time. This is purely out of my own free time. So, and I'm the only one within the organization that has the necessary skill set. I'm trying to get more people on, trying to get more people included. It's difficult to, you know, do a big ask. I literally, for my work, I have to track time to clients. There are some days where I turn off my work computer, turn on my personal one, start West Valley, and then as I am closing out for the day, I try to enter my time into nothing because it's free time. So we're happy to have those. It's just I do need a little bit more time to get it. I'm not saying I need 6 months to a year. I'm saying I just need another month to get some stuff cleaned up.
Mr. Chairman, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. And for me, it's not even at the level like you gotta have all the numbers straight out. It's more of a, we need to have a baseline conversation with the two of you and the rest of the board and maybe any other high-level staff that you may have just to kind of get a true assessment of where we're at with this thing, because, like, I mean, yeah, the county used to have this, right? And it's less expensive for the county to have a nonprofit running the thing. So I think before we get to the point where it looks like maybe we're having to take this thing back over or, like, even reinsert ourselves at a much higher level, let's figure out exactly where we're at and have some of the more tough conversations that maybe have not been had in the past.
I'm happy to.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being. It's a thankless job, I understand.
Oh yeah, I'm
thank
in a
you,
horrible
sir.
Spot. but I understand your hesitation as well, and again, I'm happy to have those types of conversations with the rest of the board about our financials. It needs to be had,
okay.
You know, and I'm glad if our board sits down here and has some conversations with you, because those are conversations I'm saying we need to address these things, and there's some that don't feel like we do. So I would even appreciate that.
Let's do that. So yeah, I'd like to acknowledge that you're in a tight spot, and the sins of others before you, you're having to negotiate out of those problems and get back on the straight and narrow. A thing that does bother me is that this coincides with a year that we've spent a lot of money and a lot of manpower to remodel your facility.
Yeah.
And that's totally negated by any documentation on your side at all. That's not reality. And so that needs to be weighed against what you're needing for extra money. And I acknowledge, and I've been in civil stuff for decades, and I think that I would acknowledge, I hope I'm totally wrong, but if it's like the other time periods before, especially with COVID, and I hate noting COVID every other paragraph, But during that time period, there was a significant increase in population of pets. And now as financials are gonna get tough, if it's like it's always been before, the pets are the first thing to be released.
Right.
All of you can talk all you want about how I love my pet and all of this other stuff. The reality is they don't put their pets or their money where their mouth is at. So I'm not looking forward to this time period. And so that said, I would like to try to help you as an organization get as healthy as you can get. But I'm also one of only three people who are the stewards of the money of the county. And we have to be responsible to that money. So let's do this. Let's set up a meeting forward and see what we can do within this year's budget. And we're not in a cash plus positive position whatsoever. Our predecessors have placed us where we're at today.
We understand that feeling entirely.
We can both commiserate with each other on that issue. So I think what you're hearing is that you're hearing a frustrated commission that needs to be responsible, but yet sees the reality of what you're doing for the county, and we're gonna try to work forward to see what we can do.
Chairman, I wanted to give the clerk, he looks to me like he has comments, and so I just wanted to give him the opportunity to provide feedback.
Thanks, Commissioner. Chairman, I just, there's some things stated in here, I just want to confirm for the record. I think you referred to an ACBR from 2011, I think you referenced, and so that does look correct that the county spent a little over $1 million in 2010. Fiscal year 2010, and then close to $1 million in fiscal year 2011. And then it dropped to a fixed dollar amount of $300,000 for about 5 years in a row. Without looking at those budgets and seeing that it was a fixed dollar, I don't know if there was a transfer for the maintenance portion that was in the care of, but then it looks like there was a shift in 2017 and on where you see a fluctuating amount of 200 and change. And I think that the $200,000 was probably the fixed dollar contribution.
Yes.
With $100,000, just to be clear, that's retained for our maintenance use that charges back to the code. So in some years that $100,000 has not been fully expended, which like in each of those years, and any money saved has rolled to our fund balance. Of course, Chairman, as you mentioned, you spent ARPA money to do some remodeling. That's not reflected in this budget, which is just operational budget. That was a big capital investment. I think, as has been suggested, it might be good in this budget process. You're kind of on the front end. We can maybe reschedule a time where hopefully you can have maybe some real-time numbers. And as Commissioner Brooks mentioned, candid conversation with the group at that time about what ongoing investment looks like. I was just going to suggest on the record that maintenance amount, that $100,000 placeholder for our facilities to use, that's something we can look at in future years as we enter the third quarter of the year to know where we're at in that. And that could be at the discretion of the board, almost maybe a contingent transfer by resolution. It wouldn't be a fixed dollar guarantee, money in the bank. You saw the fixed dollar, but that maintenance amount, if the philosophy of the board was to view unspent money under the $100,000 as something that could maybe go to a fourth quarter kind of contribution to the Humane Society. So I'm just throwing out some options that you can consider in the future, even in the current fiscal year, as we're about to approach the fourth quarter of this current fiscal year. I think Director Brayton has said that he doesn't plan on having to use the full $100,000. So there could be, at your discretion, even in the current fiscal year, just a resolution. You'd still stay budget neutral, the bottom line. But again, with some updated financials and more of what the plan is moving forward, the past is going to be difficult to try to pick all those pieces up. But
right.
It sounds like laying people off, which is like that's an incredibly difficult thing to do. There's things you've had to do just because there's so much money.
Yeah.
I had a quick question. Do you know, like, what's in your account? Like, what sort of, do you have, what's your fund balance amount, roughly, for cash flow purposes?
For cash flow, usually, like, less than 100,000
yeah.
right now.
Just where we've been at.
And we hover, and we kind of roller coaster through that. And sometimes, like, you know, after the bills are paid and after payroll has settled, it's just a couple of thousand left.
Yeah, it's
been, our cash flow has been considerably difficult.
One note I can say is that, as I said, I've taken over a lot of the accounting function because they're, even the people doing it weren't necessarily doing it. With March 24 financials, I was able to go through and at least say from a profit and loss perspective that the numbers, while probably not allocated to the proper accounts, so therefore, you know, for example, we had like 4,000 recorded to Logic. We had nothing recorded to Logic. There was, so that's kind of the things that we're dealing with. But I at least was able to say we did have this money come and go out, or these were accruals that had to be recorded. March 2024 was the first year that we were ever in the black in an individual month in like the past 18 months. So we're making the changes. Harry Commissioner Brooks, trust me, I'm well aware that the everything that's going on, you can't necessarily say that the financial situation's good to give more money, I understand. A lot of what I'm going to have to, even when we revisit again, everything will be in better order, but it's still going to be a, you know, like I said, showing you changes, you know, an adoption of accounting policies and procedure, showing our change of the past few months of financial statements and what we're doing. Another huge thing that we're having to focus on and change and shift the mindset of the organization is to prioritize fundraising. We're a 501c3. We're public support. We shouldn't be depending on municipalities to get the extra money in, but that has not been a priority within the organization. And so we have to have this mindset shift. So we have a lot to change, and I'm more than happy to meet again, provide cleaned up financial statements, and also create a plan for you to show what we're doing differently and how we're going to prevent this type of thing from happening again, because we can put things into place to prevent that as best as we can, as you all also are aware that things happen. You know, if stock market crashes, you know, I don't think there's anything that anyone can do to fall out of that. But, you know, from at least from the perspective of managing ourselves, those things can be changed. They just never were put in place, as far as I can tell, ever. So even the consideration to meet again, we appreciate.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And I'm going to provide a little bit of context because there's more history here. I have been looking at and tracking that maintenance amount that's been allocated historically before Director Britton, who does a great job identifying the needs of the animal shelter and the facility that the county owns. But historically, a lot of deferred maintenance have been accumulating, and so the expenditure of, I think in the last 3 years, we had 1 year where we hit 92,000 because it was needed maintenance on that building and what was happening. Had the county been taking the amount, as you've suggested, that was not expended with that 100,000 and building a fund balance for the need, like for the roof, that would have been, in my humble opinion, a better reflection of what was allocated for a purpose, but where that went back to current expense, and it was difficult to get, as Commissioner Brooks has indicated, a budget to actual. That information I requested year over year, and it was not provided, or at least it was difficult. This is not just on the animal shelter. There were difficulties here with the accounting practices, and I'm saying that because with the mandate to provide this service, I think the county could have done a more transparent job and a better job of helping assist with the fund balance for needs on maintenance, which happens with every building that's in existence. So the partnership that has to exist, you have to create financials that make sense to us, that has to explain the expenditure of funds to the taxpayer. And I think with the addition of the clerk and his proposals and how that's looked at to run, I think there's a solution in there that's still most cost effective. But I recognize on both sides of the tables, the table, that this has to be clear. And so if there were, for instance, in this year, monies that were not spent that were allocated for maintenance on that, then we would have a clear understanding of what it was that those were going to be designated to, rather than historically, the maintenance wasn't done, the money was given back, and there was no accounting of how that, that predates you, I get that, that predates me, I understand that. So we're saying there's some commonality in how those practices were done. So I am really personally thankful that we're at a place where we're saying there needs to be some upgrade to what's happening in serving the community, because this does become a problem that's community-wide when you have animals that cannot be taken care of, and nobody wants that.
Thank you so much for that.
So, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We do have some time on July 26th because we have round two of workshops on the afternoon.
Okay.
If that would work, and give you some time.
That was my timed goal anyway, so you're just giving me a set deadline.
Well, that's our second round of workshops, it would fit yep. right in if that day would work with everybody. And then I do have one question for you on the pet food pantry program.
Yeah.
When one, how do you determine eligibility? And number two, does that come out of donated food or actually expenditures out of your fund? Because as we all know, dog food, cat food is expensive.
Yes, it is. It is all donor-based food. So this is the, like, and if we don't have food to distribute, we don't. We don't just go out to Walmart and buy a pallet of food, right, to make up for it. It's all, that is all community-run and donation based only. And we do have to turn people away when we are low on certain foods. You know, I last week had to turn several people away for cat food because we just don't have any to share. You know, I'm like, I have some litter, but I have no cat food, sorry. So that just is all. They don't have to income qualify, but they only are allowed to come and get a certain amount of food per month, per family. So per household can only get up to, I believe it's 50 pounds of food in whatever allocation that means for them. If that means one 50-pound bag, or if that means a 25-pound bag of dog food and a 25-pound bag of cat food, like, you know, however they need to have that divvied up, we have a set allocation of you've met your limit for the month. But we don't go into specifics of, like, we need to see your bank statements, we need to financially qualify you, like, all that kind of stuff. We want it to be accessible to people that are in crisis. But we do have limits too. You know, people can't just show up every single week saying, I need 50 more pounds, I need 50 more pounds. So, because we do have people in the community that feed, for instance, free roaming feral cats and want to come every week to get a, you know, 100 pounds of cat food that they're going to go and spread, you know, on the railroad tracks for the cats. And it's like, no, that's not what this is for. This is to help animals in your home specifically.
Yeah, we're talking about finances, so I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's a good question.
Yep, for sure. And may I just also say, I am due to give birth on July 11th. Thank you. We're really excited. It's our second. But I will make myself available in whatever capacity I possibly can to be at that meeting.
Congrats on that.
Thank you. I just wanted to throw that out there in case that throws an interesting wrench in anything. But if all goes according to plan, which my first did, so hopefully this one will as well, I should be past that process and recovering. So I should be able to attend another workshop.
And one last comment is, Shane, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're doing this
you.
On your own time.
Mm-hmm.
Get all this squared away. That's a big lift and a big ask, so I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
well,
thank you.
As I said, it was kind of a dream to join a shelter board. I didn't, you know, I don't know. It seems like a dumb dream, but it's a pie in the sky. I love animals, so this is, you know, I got into accounting because it always came naturally to me, and I like it. I always tell people it's the most boring stuff in the world, but I just happen to be good at it. And then I fell into the nonprofit sector as well, so. I have a unique skill set that I'm able to apply here and help, and even though it's just the numbers and it's just the money, you know, that is how you were able to help the animals. So I'm more than happy to do so.
Thank you. Please don't get discouraged. Thank you for your willingness to come.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, it might have been your dream, but I feel like I turned it into your nightmare. I'm sorry about that.
It'll get better.
But we're committed to making this better.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you for your patience with us and trying to understand where we're coming from too. So I think if we work together, we're going to come to a reasonable place.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
No, Mr. Judge.
It's going to be a little bit more than luck.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was talking about the bird.
I see. Oh.
Yeah. I knew that's what. we were on that vibe, that wavelength, but. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it'll be fine.
All right. Well, with that, let's consider ourselves adjourned then at this point.
Thank you all.
Thank you all.
Actually, my